Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, secret sessions and what we've got out of them. Jeremy Cameron, did the AFL get it right? And we give our tips for the Eagles and Dockers.
That was out of bounds.
I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe it.
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is...
The stadium holds its breath. It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Thursday, which, of course, means it's time for the second instalment this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. We're brought to you by Tab Touch. In the studio with me, he's suffering, but he's brave. He's soldiering on. He's getting front and square. He's trying to get to the next contest. Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times.
Yes, Quarters, sniffling away, you, Duff. How are you, mate? Sniffling away.
Yes, you weren't good the other day. I thought I was going to have to fitness test.
Mate, straight off the marathon.
I know.
How about that?
You've done well.
Number 14.
Yes, you just wanted to run with a bloke in a Superman.
I did. You're right. You got that. You got that straight. Yeah.
So I'm Mark Duffield, the senior footy writer at the West Australian newspaper, and this, of course, is the day when we look into the weekend's matches and we try and give you some insight into who is going to win and who's going to lose.
And I reckon from a tipster this week,
yes,
this is a weekend when you can either fall back with the pack or surge ahead. And I've had a bit of a crack at a few. I reckon I'm going for a couple of, you know, there's a few iffy games here.
Yeah, I agree. I think there'll be some separation in tipping competitions this week.
That's right.
I've been following yours and my tallies, Quarters. You're slightly in front of me, but we've had very similar tallies over the last few weeks.
Mm.
Be interesting to see which way you're going today, because I think there may be some different ones.
I'm tipping there might be.
So, first of all, let's take care of some business. Jeremy Cameron, 5 weeks, happy?
Yeah, look, I said a minimum of 4 would suit, but I think 5 is probably suitable for that, for the incident, and we move on. And there's been a bit of noise in the postscript too from the coach, Leon Cameron. Not entirely agree with that. I think Jeremy probably deserved a whack, and he needs to address the way he attacks the footy.
I think he was upset with some of the language used, and, you know, dog act. I think dog act upset quite a few of the Giants.
Who used the term dog act? Apart from just general punters on social media.
Yeah, I think it was
media.
On Twitter.
It was just general punters on social media. I'm not sure if there were any commentators who came out and used that phrase.
No.
So I'm not sure if that's what they're there for, mate. They're allowed to have their opinion.
Yeah.
Leon's done a good job. He's backing his players. Well done.
I think there might have been one. I think there might have been one commentator. No. Who used that term.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say his name because I'm not 100% sure, but I think there was one. I just think it was reckless and it was crude and it looked horrible.
Mm.
I think intentional in that context, I think, is the wrong term to use. And
sure, but
I thought he had to get 4
yeah,
or 5.
Yeah, regardless, I think 4 or 5 was a result that I think that suits the crime, fits the crime. So.
And we've had the AFL in Perth down at Coburn Quarters doing a secret training session, trialling some of these new rules.
Interesting, one of the things, you know, the 25 metres between bounces, and the one constant from the 3 sessions, Hawthorn, Brisbane and Freo, I think, well, I'm not sure about Freo, but certainly the first two, were that they struggled with it. They struggled to run the 25. And let's be honest, mate, there have been occasions where they've sort of run 25 in the past, I reckon.
Remember the famous Franklin goal at Adelaide where we reckoned he ran 50 metres and bounced at once.
And the umpire's just like, oh, just keep going. This is great.
Love the theatre. I don't like the run too far rule.
I like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. I think as long as they've shown some intent to bounce.
I'm all for these rules. I mean, I'd be looking forward to seeing it myself, but it's been positive feedback from the players, and I really like Luke Hodges' comments last weekend saying we could be a return to the big one-on-one battles. I think that's what we want to see. We want to see one-on-one battles.
Yeah, I agree. It remains to be seen how coaches will try and get around it, because obviously it is what we think is going to come in is going to be similar to what they do at 18s. Of course, 18s coaches are tending to want to showcase talent as opposed to win football matches because their lives depend on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how the coaches try and cope with it.
One of those great one-on-one battles tonight, Duff, for the Chinaman's favourite contest, Rance Franklin.
Lance v. Rance.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yes, it's at Etihad Stadium. It's Richmond v Sydney. This is an interesting one, Quarters.
It is really interesting.
I won't be surprised if we go in different directions here.
I'm tipping Sydney.
We are going in different directions.
Yeah, we are
here.
Going. Look, you know, no, it's no slight on Richmond. Look, we got one versus two. It's a great contest. Sydney's got a habit of has made a habit of winning these. Fantastic record at Etihad Stadium. So this is Richmond's turn to play its home game at Etihad Stadium, which every MCG tenant must. So it's their turn. Really interesting. Sydney won the 14 of their last 15 at the venue, so they like the venue. It's not massively different to the SCG in size. It's probably something to do with it, although Sydney's form at the SCG wasn't great earlier in the year, but I think they've rectified that. Won their last two against the Tigers as well. Just going along nicely, the Swans. And, you know, I expect these two, if not to play off in the grand final, certainly to figure right at the pointy end of it. As I said, Rance v Franklin is a contest that people will be, you know, salivating over. If it's close at three-quarter time, which it probably will be.
Yeah.
Both these teams have got really good records in the fourth quarter. I think Richmond's won 10 of their 13 final quarters. They're plus 155, and Sydney's plus 71. So they're going okay at the business end. And, you know, you've got this a lot of players in good form too. Vlosten was terrific last week. And Sydney, apart from the players you expect, they've got that crop coming up from underneath, you know, Ollie Florent, Paul Roos's tip for the Rising Star, these sorts. So I think it'll be really close, but I'm just going to give Sydney to win an arm wrestle.
We need a bloke on a show, one of those national shows, because they all pump up their own.
Mm-hmm.
So Roosie's behind Ollie Florent.
Oh, no doubt.
The Melbourne people are behind Jaden Stevenson.
Yeah. We've got our favourites over here, certainly. Two of them haven't been nominated.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's another story, isn't it? Tom Doty from Adelaide, I think, is very
good. He's good. Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, I would have thought if he's not 1, 2, 3 in the reckoning at the moment.
I reckon he will.
I would have thought Chera would be in the top four at the moment.
I would think so. He just needs to be nominated.
He just needed to be nominated. Yeah.
And Brayshaw needs to be nominated.
Brayshaw's had a hell of a solid season.
He has.
So I'm tipping Richmond.
Yep.
It's in Melbourne. I reckon what happens, Quarters, with teams who develop really good records at certain grounds, and the anomaly being West Coast in Adelaide, because West Coast plays really well at Adelaide. It's often a product of who you play. So for a while, Fremantle had a really good record at the MCG, but they were playing teams like Melbourne when Melbourne weren't that good, and Collingwood when Collingwood weren't that good, and Carlton when Carlton weren't that good. And I think that helps you build.
And probably Richmond when Richmond weren't that good.
Richmond too, yes. That probably helps you build good win losses at certain venues. I can't explain West Coast at Adelaide Oval, because the Adelaide teams have been strong and West Coast keeps going there and winning.
Well, we'll have a look this weekend, won't we?
We will. I just think Richmond did get smacked at Etihad last year by St Kilda, and obviously St Kilda were at that stage a very good pressure team, and you would think Sydney would bring the pressure. Interesting sidelight to this game. Don't be surprised if Alia is on West Coast radar. Just as a fail-safe in case of what happens with Jeremy McGovern. We saw Alia play very well against West Coast a couple of weeks ago at the SCG. I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles feelers have gone out just to see whether he would be prepared to come home.
I'm intrigued with their treatment of Alia. He is a terrific player.
Yeah.
He's got that innate ability to read the play and makes good choices.
Yep.
And he would be a player any club would like to have on their list, and has struggled to return to that Sydney lineup.
Yeah, they have the Bloods code, and there are certain standards you've got to meet. Alia's messed up a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably once off the field, and he's probably made a couple of bad decisions on the field. He's a bit dodgy with ball in hand, but the Swans aren't a great ball-using team. I agree. I think he's been a little bit hard done by. He's had to do a little bit more than others to earn his position. So, yeah, just that's one to watch. It probably won't be as urgent for West Coast if McGovern signs, but if it gets to round 23 and there's still no Jay McGovern signature on a piece of paper, then don't be surprised if the Eagles get very interested in Alia. Okay, so you're Sydney, I'm Richmond. Going on to
Friday night, Etihad Stadium, Western Bulldogs v Geelong.
Just another Friday night blockbuster. Woohoo!
Well, the Dogs gained a few admirers again, I think, in their two-point loss to North last weekend, although they should have. It's a game they should have won. Marcus Adams returned, so he'll probably take Tom Hawkins.
Yep.
It's a very timely return. Geelong won the past 11 against the Dogs.
Yes.
It's a very solid record against them.
Played them a few times down at
Yeah, they have. They have. But the last couple of times they've played them, P. Dangerfield has got hold of them. So just wonder what's there. I have no drama at all in picking Geelong to win this one, I think, by 5-6 goals.
Yeah, I'm with you. I did like what I saw from the Doggies last week. I loved Billy Gowers' game. I thought he was really
son
good.
Son of Andy.
I loved, a bit tougher than Andy. Yeah, more robust.
Andy was okay, yeah.
A bit more robust. I also liked what I saw from Aaron Norton in attack. He was really good. And I loved Joe Hannison, that old dash from
has
defense.
Been good all year, Joe Hannison. Yeah. He's been, they've had a horrible year, let's be honest. And I think he is a player who I was iffy on.
Yep.
And I'm no longer iffy on him. I think he's been really solid this year in the face of all adversity. So well done. Looking forward to Quinton Narkle's debut too in this game. I saw there's been some good highlight reels on him.
Yeah, good West Australian boy.
ACL last year. Good West Australian boy. A cousin, nephew, I think, of Phil. Of Phil and...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
right. And good highlights reel. Goal to goal, goal last week. End to end goal a couple of weeks ago in the VFL. It looks a contested player, and looks like he's a good choice maker with the footy too. So, and got all the skills that you'd expect.
So after we've talked up the Bulldogs a bit and talked about how much we admired them last week, we're both agreeing that Geelong will beat them by about 5 goals.
That's right.
Okay.
You got that straight. Saturday, Carlton v Port Adelaide at the MCG, another blockbuster. Carlton, after the worst two quarters I've seen in my memory against Freo the previous week, a lot really solid last week. Charlie Curnow's game, one for the one to put in the library and reel back in the future and remember. Not that he arrived on the scene, because he's been a compelling talent for a long time, but just what a great venue to make a statement last weekend to get in a big game against Collingwood. We should mention Cade Simpson, 300 games,
yep.
Didn't get a kick in his first three or four.
Yep.
Amazing. And but just been a real solid citizen. And, perhaps he's not up there with the John Nicholls of this world, of the Carlton 300 gamers, but, deserves to be very highly talked about in Carlton's history and has stuck through the club, really stuck with them through thick and thin too.
Interesting story, because Cade Simpson was the 02 draft, and this was the draft that Carlton were taken out of because of the salary cap mm-hmm. rorting. And they took Simpson as a pick, and they took a couple of other kids right at the tail end. Dennis Pagan got them to trade away a lot of picks for mature age talent trying to bolster the list. And I think what Cade Simpson, the lesson learned here is that when you take a kid, you take possibility. And when you take a mature age second or third tier player, you basically resign yourself to limitation. So they rolled the dice and took Cade Simpson. They were out of the early rounds of the draft, so they were, they were going to get later picks. But Cade Simpson turned into a champion of their club.
Yeah.
And had they taken a couple more and traded away a few less of the other picks, you never know, they might have found another player who might be still going around for them and helping them out in this time of crisis for them. You're absolutely right about Charlie Curnow. Spectacular. I did like Sam Petrescu-Seaton's game last week.
Yep.
Of course, Paddy Cripps we like every week. Zach Fisher we like most weeks. So there are those green shoots, as Brendan Bolton likes to talk about
I'm banned myself from using that phrase.
Yes.
And organic growth. I won't use that phrase either. I'm like, if I use the terms green shoots or organic growth,
I can
reach
slap
over
you.
And smack me over the head with the microphone, please. I'm not using them.
The microphones are tied down.
Okay, so. I'm banning myself from using those. But nevertheless, I take your point.
Yes. Okay, do we think Port Adelaide wins this?
I think so. Number one clearance team in the comp. Carlton averaging 62 points a game. The tally goes on 46 games now without hitting the century mark, Carlton. Port going along quite comfortably and would want to make a statement at the MCG too. I think pushing into that top four, Port, and I reckon in form, and I reckon want to make a statement at the G.
And we want to see some highlights from Charlie Curnow in the air and some highlights from Robbie Gray at ground level.
Well, I guarantee you get both. Yeah. you guarantee to get both with those two very reliable players. Adelaide v West Coast, Adelaide Oval. As you said, they've got a good record. And I've got a really quirky fact. The last three games between these two decided by 29 points.
29 points?
Yeah. Roll the spooky music now, if you like. That's true.
And one of those would have been an Adelaide victory at Subiaco Oval.
Yep. That's right. So just a quirky fact there. West Coast lost their last two. Adelaide lost four in a row. Probably some big ins for Adelaide. We're saying Tom Lynch is playing. Sloan and Laird still in the mix, I think.
Yeah.
So in Lynch, Sloan, Laird, out Collective Mind.
Yes. And what's the injury? Fail.
Right.
No, well, actually.
Brackets, maybe idiocy.
I think, what was the term that Don Pike used? Probable fail.
Probable fail, okay. Yeah, well, let's call it a probable fail.
And as clubs often do, that is underplaying the injury.
Yeah, let's call it a probable fail on the edge of catastrophe. How about that? So, West Coast depleted in attack. We're told Lacroix will be nursing a bit of soreness in the wrist, but he will play through it.
Yep.
They need him to play. I'd like to see the Eagles' tackle count go up a bit. It's been fairly low in recent weeks, but wouldn't surprise me if they did upset given their record there, but I'm going to pick Adelaide here to bounce back.
That's interesting because I reckon the other day you were leaning towards West Coast.
Yeah.
So what's changed in
mind? No, Tuesday, I think earlier in the week, I still wanted to pick Adelaide.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought that they would win this week.
Okay. I'm going to pick Adelaide. Yeah. I just think, assuming that there's no Kennedy, no Darling, Lacroix, not 100%.
Yep.
I just wonder where West Coast gets its goals from. I'd be a little bit wonky on the tip if Lynch plays, but Laird and who was the other one? If Laird and Sloan didn't, or if they played beyond, like Sloan's played earlier in the year, but he hasn't really been right, has he? So if they play and they're fit and West Coast has the outs it's got, I think Adelaide win this. But if Adelaide remains having outs that it's had for a lot of the year, then I think the game goes back into the melting pot.
And look, West Coast, it's not catastrophe for West Coast. They've just got to weather this storm. Every team goes through their trough. This is their trough. And it's probably coming at a reasonable time if they look at it from on the bright side. Look, they've got players coming back soon. They just got to get through this period and hopefully still finish top four, which they're every chance to still. So.
Yeah, that said, Quarters, I reckon, I've obviously... This makes the Essendon loss a bad loss.
Yeah, the Essendon loss was
one.
Yeah, they did not need that.
If we looked at this through the prism of they lose to Sydney, they beat Essendon, they come here, then a loss here is not such a big deal. If you were to go into the game after this one is GWS. If you were to go into the GWS game, still no Kennedy, still no Darling.
Well, they won't. I don't think they'll have either.
Then coming off three losses.
Mm-hmm.
Then suddenly the stakes get very high. I think West Coast, I think Adelaide will win this, but West Coast could really drive a stake in the ground. If they could somehow manufacture a win in this game, I think that they could really make a statement about what they intend to do this season.
And if you want to have a little punt out there, I'd tip, don't punt anything but 29 points. 30-28. Gold Coast v Collingwood, Metricon Stadium. Gold Coast lost eight in a row. Looked better with Tom Lynch and 2 metre Peter up there in attack.
Yep.
They did look better.
How bad was their kicking for goal?
Yeah.
Actually, how bad was the kicking for goal in that game?
Yeah, it was where it's... Yeah, and it's been across the board too, I reckon, in many games. The one exception, Optus, has been a generally inaccurate stadium. West Coast did their best to upset the apple cart there last round, but it's generally been an accurate stadium. But it's been a common thread, I reckon, this year.
That's why Scotty Lysett had a windy off the line. He didn't want to miss.
minus 220 in final quarters, Gold Coast. So, Treloar's a big out for Collingwood, but they've got a lot of midfield depth, and you'd expect this to be a comfortable victory for Collingwood.
Well, I expect it to be a victory. I expect Gold Coast to show a fair bit. I think that
there's that last quarter, Duff. They'll show a bit, then there's that last quarter.
Well, they kicked two goals in the last quarter. Unfortunately, they had last week.
Two goals.
They had to have two goalless quarters to get to the last quarter. Yeah. So, and they probably, what did they kick? About 2-3, 2-4 in that last quarter. So, yeah. They probably, if you're generating six shots at goal in a quarter, that's actually not
too bad.
Well,
they want to make the most of their opportunities because Collingwood the highest disposal team and they're the lowest disposal team. So they want to make the most of it when they do have the footy in their hands.
It'd be an interesting little test for Collingwood this, just how the loss of Treloar affects them.
Yeah.
So I reckon Collingwood will be studying this one pretty closely to work out what measures they can take to try and minimise the effects of Treloar's loss. I think Collingwood beats them, but I think under 20 points.
GWS v Hawthorn up in Sydney, Spotless Stadium. Last match between these two was a draw in Tassie last year. Obviously, Jeremy Cameron out. My question here, Burgoyne out for Hawthorn too. So big out for Hawthorn too. Burgoyne's absence really affects Hawthorn. My question is, okay, so beyond Jeremy Cameron, I think 25 goals this year. Who are the next two next biggest goal kickers this year?
That doesn't bother me that much, though, because I think...
Zach Langdon and Ryan Griffin.
I think they reposition John Griffin forward, John Patton forward.
Yeah, okay.
So
John Patton's your man, is he? Well,
So he's played in the ruck. I think that they're going to have to ruck Dawson Simpson, and I think John Patton goes forward and becomes their power forward.
Well, I think structurally there's a big question mark over GWS, and I'm picking Hawthorn to win this game.
Okay, I'm going to stay with GWS. I think Burgoyne's a big out for the Hawks.
Yep.
And I also think, I'm not sure what strong recommendation comes out of the game against Gold Coast at Launceston.
Poor start, good finish. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure what comes out, but they've strung together some consistency, Hawthorn. So you're right. It's definitely, it's up there at Spotless, and Hawthorn is gettable this year. But I'm confident enough to pick them this week.
I love the terminology from a bloke who's seen four flags. They're gettable.
Well, they are at the moment. You know what I mean?
Well, they're more than gettable. They're not in the eight.
No, that's right. We're just on the cusp, Duff, on the cusp.
And they play the Widgie Moore for thirds all the way home, so the chances are they're going to play finals.
Yeah, good side.
Sorry to the Widgie Moore for thirds.
No, they're a good side.
Okay, so we're split on that one. I'm GWS, you're Hawthorn. Melbourne v St Kilda, Sunday
the
MCG.
Melbourne got some issues, but nothing that's horrific. I think Melbourne's still on the right path. I still like them. They've got a lot of depth. Hogan intrigues me at the moment, but just a little out of form. And I'm just not sure if he knows what his role is in attack at the moment.
Yeah, I agree.
Really interesting comment from Jonathan Brown the other day, talking about there's too many fish and there's no shark in the Melbourne forward line. And they did show some footage, and it's... You know, I'm not sure whether he... Who knows who's the shark? This has to be a shark, and it probably needs to be Jesse Hogan. So once they work that out, they'll be a better side. But I can't make a case for St Kilda here. I'm picking Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm picking Melbourne. I think St Kilda's great strength is pressure when they're playing well. Melbourne is the best contested ball team in the AFL.
And their last win, they're coming off the bye. Last win was against the Gold Coast.
Just.
What does that say about them?
No, and the other thing, I'm with you on Jesse Hogan. Jesse Hogan's confused because they've confused him. They've shifted him up the ground. They've played him high. They've tried to take advantage of his tank. Play him deep. Now, he needs to be your primary target. Let Tommy McDonald move around a bit. And if Tommy McDonald gets caught deep on a mismatch and takes a mark in the goal square, terrific. But most of the time, you want to be kicking long, and you want Jesse Hogan giving you a monumental contest, if you're not spotting up targets by lowering your eyes. So Melbourne comfortably for me. Saints just need to keep trying to string competitive performances together, I think, at the back end of this year.
Essendon v North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium. Good record, the Roos, against Essendon in recent times. Won 5 of their last 7.
Yeah.
And terrific victory last start. They just kept pegging away, and, you know, executed the play when they needed to in the dying seconds to win. I'm going to pick Essendon to win this. I really like their game over here. Yep. And while I don't see them making a huge impact, should they get there in September, to the bottom end of the eight. I like their form at the moment. Saad off halfback last week was one of the real keys to that first quarter that cut the Eagles apart. Devin Smith as well. I just think the form's good enough to challenge this really strong North side at the moment.
Okay, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go with North. I think I respect North's form over a longer period of time than Essendon's. Essendon's form recently has been good. Certainly a vast improvement on where they had been early in the season, starting to get their run-off half-back together. Hurley in better nick. Hooker settled back down.
Where does he play?
Hooker? I think he plays back.
Well, he has been, and he's been better there for the Bombers, but the last time they played, he was the difference.
Yeah, you've got to go
forward
with
in the last quarter against North last time.
Well, if they're three goals down three-quarter time,
there's one up their sleeve, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I just respect North and what they've done this year. I've liked what they've done, and I'm going to stay with them.
Nice. We're not exactly on par today, which is good.
One of us may be very unhappy.
I'm tipping that we'll be on a similar... will be very similar tip for Freo v Brisbane at Optus Stadium on Sunday.
So there's some suggestion that Connor Blakely saw, so he's no certainty to play in this game. Also noticed when I went down and watched their warm-up before they did the secret training session to... which ended up not being that secret, to test the new rules. Hayden Ballantyne wasn't out there either. And Aaron Sanderland's running away from the main group. So watch those things with team selection coming up later today. But certainly Fremantle's form coming off two wins, then the bye.
It goes without saying, no Harris Andrews hurts Brisbane.
Yep.
A defender in all-Australian form, out for the foreseeable future. We don't know when he's going to be back. Good luck to him. Hodgie.
Yeah.
Good game last week, 30 possessions.
Coach's votes.
Oh, yeah. He'll play on, I reckon.
Well, that's the mail.
Which was interesting given his last year at Hawthorne, he was really sore and just was really doubtful he'd make the end of the season, let alone play the year out. And he reappears in a new jumper and good on him. I mean, it's obviously reinvigorated him.
I just urge him to see how he's at the tail end.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he won't rush into it. And why would he? If he wants to play on again, they'll let him play on again.
Exactly.
So just wait to the end of the year. But good to see him in good form. And Daniel Rich as well has found some form too. He's had his issues over the year physically. And good to see him in some form. Let's hope it continues. I'm picking Freo, 5 from 7 at Optus. Good rec. They like playing there.
Yep.
I think that's good enough for me. I'm picking them.
Big game for Freo because they want to – I don't think they'll play finals, but they want to stay in contention to play finals for as long as possible.
Yeah.
This would get them to 7-7.
Of course. Yeah, and look, I reckon they're already overs for mine from what they've achieved this year. I reckon they're overs. And so
more just keeping their fans interested. Yep. I think that's important for them. With the biggest stadium, 60,000 seats to fill, if they could get to 7-7, be competitive against, I think it's Melbourne in Darwin the following week, then you get a couple more reasonable attendances at home games. That's all good for the budget for the club, which enables them to resource the players, which enables them to do better next year. So we're both on Freo in that last game?
We are.
Yes, well, quarters, we may not necessarily both be happy come next week.
One of us may have our pants down. Well, I hope not, but might have to do the lap of
please.
The table next week.
Secretly, you want to. You just like love dropping your dacks. All right. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We'll be back on Tuesday. Full wrap of the round. Hopefully, your tips go well. It's a difficult one. I know a lot of marginal 50-50 games. Good luck with that, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.